Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, November 14th, 2013-14. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Some of the top ZANU-PF officials who were suspended by the ruling party's Politburo yesterday claim that they are not aware of the reasons as to why they were purged.
I am shocked, surprised and heartbroken simply because I do not have the charges against me. I don't know what offense I committed.
The situation in the country's government referral hospitals is slowly getting back to normal as doctors trickle back to work.
The situation is, we had said earlier, it was a bad situation, so we are coming to try to cover up of the lost time and also to cover up in terms of service provision to the members of the public.
And residents in major towns and cities are angry at the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, ZESA, for rolling out an intense daily routine of power cuts running for several hours on end.
Some of the top ZANU-PF officials who were suspended by the ruling party's Politburo yesterday claim that they are not aware of the reasons as to why they were purged. The purge included vocal party spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who was suspended for 5 years, and the expulsion of militant war veterans leader Jabulani Sibanda. Thomas Chiripasi has more details.
ZANU-PF Central Committee member Inek Porusungazi, who is among those suspended yesterday, said he is not aware of the charges that led to his suspension. He said he was never asked to appear before a disciplinary committee before yesterday's Politburo decision.
I am shocked, surprised and heartbroken simply because I do not have the charges against me. I don't know what offense I committed. I'm still waiting to be informed of the offenses. But what I want to say is, if that is the Politburo decision, I will respect it. I respect my Politburo. I cannot argue with it. If the charges are factual, there is evidence.
War veterans leader Jabulani Sibanda, who was expelled from the ruling party, says he does not know the crime that he committed.
I haven't received anything, my brother, so I cannot comment fully because I don't know the content, I don't know the charge, I don't know anything, so I cannot comment now.
A speculation is rife that those being purged are loyalists of Vice President Joyce Mujuru, who, together with Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, is angling to succeed President Robert Mugabe when he eventually leaves office. Porusingazi said he belongs to none of the two factions.
That one I can't comment. I belong to President Mugabe. I belong to, in terms of the office that I respect, is the president himself, his entire cabinet, his entire executive in the Politburo, and all structures of the party, which means also my Mujuru is in that group of party stalwarts. We respect their office. It's not that I am practicing factionalism, no.
Analysts say the purge severely weakens Mrs. Mujuru's alleged camp and her ambitions to hold on to her job and eventually replace Mr. Mugabe if he leaves office. Political analyst and programs officer of the Zimbabwe Association of Community Radio Stations, Kudzai Kwangwari, told Studio 7 that as a result of the continuing purging of her key allies, Vice President Mujuru should now raise the white flag. Kwangwari said it was now clear that the ZANU-PF Congress would breed a predetermined outcome.
If I was her, this is the time to raise it. Because, I mean, there have been a lot of allegations against her from not small people, but even big people within the party, including the first lady, serious allegations against her. And if she's that person who has got the conscience of saying, okay, I did not do this, or I'm tarnishing my image, or this, I think this is the time that I say, okay, let me make things clear. I did not do this, but I'm no longer comfortable continuing in this party because of these reasons.
But ZANU-PF member Goodson Nguni says the suspensions and Jabulani Sibanda's expulsion have nothing to do with factionalism in the ruling party. Nguni added that the internal fissures in ZANU-PF are not linked to the race to succeed President Robert Mugabe, who has not groomed a successor in his 34 years in power since independence from Britain in 1980.
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's true that those members who have been removed belong to a faction led by Maimu Juru, because in 2004, six provincial chairmen were removed, and there was an allegation that they were belonging to Mnangagwa. So I don't know if it is true if those people belong to Maimu Juru or not. I don't know about that.
Kwangwari said the demonstrations and votes of no confidence against suspected Mujuru allies, including Sibanda's expulsion, were choreographed to give the faction led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa an edge over the Mujuru camp ahead of the party's 6th elective congress set for next month. The road to the ruling party's congress thus far, according to Kwangwari, has been marred by undemocratic practices.
I think it's difficult for her. I don't think there's any confidence or whatever is remaining for her to be able to confidently participate in this whole thing, because if it was a soccer match, she scored one and she's conceded three or four goals, and the referee is also playing. In that kind of situation, I think it's difficult for you to expect to be successful.
But Nguni says ZANU-PF remains one family, claiming ZANU-PF is the most democratic political party in the country.
ZANU-PF brought democracy to this country. We lead the way. We don't behave like the MDCT because we're a home-based organization. We have not had an election. We've not barred anybody from standing in the election. But we must have the right to discipline members of our party. And it's not the Politburo. I must reiterate. It is the provincial structures where those provincial chairmen were leading who passed a vote of no confidence in them. It has nothing to do with the president or members of the Politburo. The only person the Politburo dismissed is Comrade Rugare Gumbo, because he's one of them.
ZANU-PF insiders also tell Studio 7 that Senate President Edna Madzongwe is also angling to take over the vice presidency from Mujuru at the impending Congress. Madzongwe, who comes from President Mugabe's home province, is the one who announced the first lady's entry into mainstream politics in Mazowe. Efforts to get a comment from Madzongwe were unsuccessful. While President Mugabe said that all issues affecting the party would be resolved at Congress, without directly referring to calls for Mrs. Mujuru's ouster, his wife Grace has openly attacked the vice president and called on her to resign immediately, accusing her of incompetence, corruption, and selling out to the country's so-called detractors. For her part, Mujuru has not responded directly to the attacks, but called for a moratorium on insults and urged ZANU-PF members to be united, warning that the ruling party risks losing the next elections if the party remains fractured. Meanwhile, those reportedly angling for the co-vice presidency are Simon Kayamoyo, retired Brigadier General Ambrose Mtiniri, Home Affairs Minister Kembo Mohadi, and former Zimbabwe Ambassador to South Africa, Phekezela Mphoko. The seat fell vacant following the death of John Komo last year. In other news, Speaker of Parliament Jacob Mudenda today wrote to MDCT Secretary General Douglas Monzora, advising him of his decision not to accept a request by the opposition to declare 19 seats held by the MDC renewal team vacant after former Secretary General Tendai Biti led a breakaway. Mudenda said the dispute as to who is the real MDCT is still in the courts. Therefore, his hands are tied. Biti said, instead of Tsvangirai working against the MDC renewal team, he should concentrate on the economic issues affecting the majority of Zimbabweans.
The country is on a fork. There is an economic crisis, there is a political crisis. Our people are suffering. People have no money, people have no jobs, and so forth. For some of us, we've been fighting ZANU-PF in the trenches for throughout our lives. It's really regrettable and shocking that a war party and a war party president can find in the middle of this crisis that the number one issue is to fire Sekai Holland, is to fire Willis Matsimore and all those poor 19 MPs. So this is why the renewal teams calls for national renewal, because some people have failed and can't take this country ahead.
BT broke ranks with Tsvangirai after the opposition was defeated by ZANU-PF in last year's national elections. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
The situation in the country's government referral hospitals is slowly getting back to normal following the agreement between striking doctors and the government yesterday, allowing the health professionals to resume their duties. The doctors, all of whom work for government hospitals, are demanding salaries of about $1,200, up from their current salaries of just under $300, and better work risk allowances. The three-week strike by the doctors resulted in many patients being turned away and others forced to go to private hospitals, which cost more than they could afford. The doctors say, though not all their demands were met, they decided to return to work while negotiations continue for the sake of their patients. Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri spoke with the president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association, Bulawayo chapter, Emerson Pazara, who says the doctors are working extra hard to ensure the situation returns to normal in government hospitals.
I can confirm our central hospitals and also peripheral hospitals that doctors started reporting for duty yesterday evening. Actually, for today, we're making our tools and ZHD executive and taking their stations and offering their services fully to the members of the public. So I can confirm all our members are taking their respective stations.
How was the situation in the hospitals?
The situation is, we had said earlier, it was a bad situation, so we are coming to try to cover up of the lost time and also to cover up in terms of service provision to the members of the public. So we are expecting that normalcy will be regained very soon, as our doctors are now back in offering their services in full to the members of the public. They are going to try to cover up for the times lost in terms of the operation catalyst and also the outpatient department patients have been before. So normal bookings are being put in place so that we have the members of.
That was the president of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association Bulawayo chapter, Emerson Pazara, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kandemiri.
Residents in major towns and cities are angry at the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, ZESA, for rolling out an intense daily routine of power cuts running for several hours on end. All cities, including Harare and Bulawayo, have experienced severe load shedding in the past few weeks, and what irks many people is that the cuts are random. Reporter Ntungameli Nkomo reached Glenview 8 resident in Harare, Hlengiwe Dube.
The situation is that you wake up very early in the morning and you want to, if you don't have a heater, obviously you would want to heat up water and you can't because there is no electricity. And it's like it's a whole day, and if it goes during the day, it's like you're going to get electricity back around 10 p.m. or so, which is not sustainable at all. You like, it's like the ruralization of the urban setup. The urban setup is now becoming rural because there is always no electricity. So you always have to have backup, like paraffin, like gas. And most of the people cannot afford such things. They are like a privilege to most, considering the economic circumstances of the country.
How is this affecting your festive season preparations, seeing that this is a time to stock up in the fridge?
you can't really be stocking up anything in the fridge because you end up losing more because everything would get rotten at the end of the day. You can't even store up meat like beef or chicken or pork for a week. So you can't even start talking about the festive season.
That was Harare's Glenview 8 resident Hlengiwe Dube on the line with reporter Ntungamile Nkomo.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Gibbs Dube speaks with musician Berita Kumalo.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
With world leaders gathering in Australia for a summit meeting of the Group of 20 or G20 economic powers, Russian President Vladimir Putin said the United States is crudely violating the spirit of international cooperation that should drive groups such as the G20. In particular, Mr. Putin complained about the US-led sanctions against Russia for its military activity in and around Ukraine. In an interview just before he arrived in Brisbane for the G20's two-day meeting, the Kremlin leader said he will not bring up the issue of sanctions during the summit on Saturday and Sunday. However, he added he will respond if other national leaders bring up the subject.
Militant group Boko Haram has seized the northeastern Nigerian town of Chibok, the home of more than 200 schoolgirls the group kidnapped earlier this year. Pogo Baitras, chairman of the Chibok's Elders Forum, tells VOA that militants attacked the Borno State town late Thursday afternoon. He says locally based soldiers and civilian fighters put up a fight but were outgunned by a large Haram force that took control of the town.
South Sudan has accused the neighboring Sudan of carrying out airstrikes in a border state and injuring at least six people. Officials say Sudanese warplanes bombed Maban County in Upper Nile State on Wednesday, in addition to attacking Sudan's own Blue Nile State, where the Khartoum government has fought rebels since 2011. Upper Nile hosts more than 100,000 refugees who have fled the fighting in the Blue Nile. The French news agency AFP quotes a Sudanese army spokesman, Colonel Amsawami Khaled, as denying Sudan bombed any part of South Sudanese territory.
And the United Nations World Food Programme is drastically cutting rations for refugees in Kenya due to a lack of funding. The WFP says that as of Saturday, rations will be reduced by 50% for about 500,000 refugees living in the Dadaab Kakuma camps of northern Kenya. The agency said in a statement today that it's struggling to raise money to cover operations at the camps.
My name is Berita. I am a singer, songwriter, and guitarist. I was born in Zimbabwe, Bulawayo, in 1991. And then when I was 16 years old, I had an opportunity to move with my parents to New Zealand, where they work as dairy farmers. So I got the opportunity to finish my high school there. And then when I was just about to get into university, I got an opportunity to come and study in South Africa. It's there that I took my guitar with and I started performing in community events, hospitals, small events that I could get a hold of. And from those performances, I was able to get an opportunity to record an album in Joburg. And I recorded my first album called Conquering Spirit. From that album in 2012, I was able to have a hit song, which is Thando Lwethu. That song afforded me a lot of opportunities in South Africa, in Zimbabwe, and around African countries. I was able to travel and have a Southern Africa tour. I won an award for Best African Pop Album, and my album went gold in South Africa. And from those opportunities, I have since released my new album called Songs of Empowerment. The title of the new album is called Songs of Empowerment. Sukundi Xesha is a very exciting song. It's my first single, particularly my first single in the South Africa territory. It's a Xhosa song, and what it really means, literally translated, I would like to say it in Xhosa, then explain it to you in English. In Xhosa, I say, Sukundi Xesha, Dawkhanza ngexesha lam, ixesha libekwe nguThixo, lixesha lam elo, Sukundi Xesha, which means don't rush me. Let me take my time. Let me dance in the time that God has said I must dance. In my heart is where you dwell. In my mind is where you reside. Yeah. Uthando Lwami is a special song. Again, I'll say it in Xhosa, then I'll translate it to English. Uthando Lwami, the chorus says something like, Uthando Lwami kuwe lumfoza njengomlambo, which means the love that I have for you overflows like the river. Well, you know, Uthando Lwami kuwe is a song that I wrote about 2 years back. I didn't even think it was going to be in this album. But when I was preparing the tracks that were going to go into the album, what I like about this song is that it starts in English, and it starts like a pop song, but then when it breaks into the chorus, it becomes an African song. And by the time the song ends, it's got this beautiful African feel, and also it's got a groove to it that people can dance to. Basically, with this song, I really dedicate it to my fans. I appreciate the love that I've received in the music industry for the past 2 years, and I feel like the love that I have for my music and for my people overflows like the rivers. You know, Ubuile is a very special song as well. You'll find that most of the songs in the new album have a special message. Hence, the album is called Songs of Empowerment, because each song is meant to empower your heart, your soul, and your mind. Ubuile is a song that I dedicate to my father. I wrote this song with a special friend of mine called Busisiwe Smith, the one that I wrote Uthando Lwethu with. The song is about the coming back of a loved one, and in this case, it's my grandfather, Ubaba Umanene. So, you know, there's a lot of families here that grow up without their father. And I just really wanted to sing about a situation whereby a loved one is back home after many years of people crying. Thank you.
That was musician Berita Kumalo speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about ongoings in the ruling ZANU-PF party.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
The Premier Soccer League has reduced gate charges for the Chibuku Super Cup final. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us by how much.
Fans wishing to watch Sunday's Chibuku Super Cup final between FC Platinum and Harare City will have to fork out a modest $1 instead of the $3 they pay to watch Premier Soccer League matches. Premier Soccer League Chief Executive Officer Kenneth Ndebele says the decision to reduce the gate fee is to accord every soccer fan the opportunity to watch top-flight football, especially those from the Shabane area who have been very supportive throughout the season. The final is being played at the Shabane's Mandava Stadium, which earlier in the season hosted the Zimbabwe National Army Challenge final between Capes United and FC Platinum. Ironically, FC Platinum, who massacred Capes United 6-0 on that day, will once again be on the field. In fact, they are the overwhelming favourites to lift the Chibuku Super Cup. But Harare City coach Masimba Dinyero is not taking that. He warns that people should not count his team out.
I don't see anything that you can count us out.
Dinyero's confidence is born in part on the form of striker Francis Zikumbawire. The former Wangen Dynamo striker has transformed himself into Harare City's protagonist. The Premier Soccer League September and October Player of the Month has been a ball of fire, igniting attacks whenever in possession, and has kept that fine form with great goals. If FC Platinum fails to stop Zikumbawire, the final result of the game will be far much more than the effects that is being felt by the Dynamo's family following their 2-1 defeat at the hands of ZPC Kariba. However, FC Platinum coach Norman Mapeza is not worried about the threat that Harare City poses. The former Warriors mentor is more concerned about the chances that his strikers are missing than the Harare City defense.
I'm just worried about our attack because they've been creating opportunities and they're not making use of those chances.
For FC Platinum, so far, so good under Mapeza. The Miners have been on fire and apart from the Chibuku Super Cup final, are also putting up a strong fight for a third place finish in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League standings. In Donald Ngoma and Michael Katairo, Mapeza is a powerful strike force that has proved itself against the best Zimbabwe has to offer. This is a cup final that is pitting two teams with different ambitions. While FC Platinum are seeking a third place finish in the PSL, Harare City are deep in the relegation zone. But in a cup final, statistics and current form sometimes do not count. The winners of the Chibuku Super Cup will take home 75,000 and will also qualify to represent Zimbabwe in the 2015 CAF Confederation Cup. The losers are guaranteed of $50,000. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariati.
Thank you, Michael Chris. And now we recap today's top stories.
Some of the top ZANU-PF officials who were suspended by the ruling party's Politburo yesterday claim that they are not aware of the reasons as to why they were purged.
The situation in the country's government hospitals is slowly getting back to normal as doctors trickle back to work.
And residents in major towns and cities are angry at the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, ZESA, for rolling out an intense daily routine of power cuts running for several hours on end.
That's our broadcast this evening. Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com for more on our top stories. You can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at the following number 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night. Now we hand you over to Sitandekile Mhlanga and Ntungameli Nkomo with the Ndebele News. Good weekend, Zimbabwe.